All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Welcome in to Daily Faceoff Live, your go-to source for everything hockey, live every weekday at noon Eastern.
Welcome in to a new edition of Daily Faceoff Live, streaming live on the DFO YouTube, and as always, presented by Betano. The game starts now at betano.ca. I'm Tyler Remchuk. He is our Daily Faceoff hockey insider, Frank Saravalli. Frank, rocking the nice, fresh green. I like that. That's a crisp look.
Thanks. How you doing? You seem tired today. Are you good?
Me? I seem tired? No, I'm buzzing, Frank. I'm on my third cup of coffee today. I'm rolling. Today's going to be a good show. We got our friend Rob Rossi swinging by in a little bit from The Athletic to talk a bit about the Pittsburgh Penguins. They lost last night to the Toronto Maple Leafs. And actually, where we're starting today's show is out in Toronto with Austin Matthews hitting the 65 goal mark, Frank, tied for the most in the salary cap era. A great and a big accomplishment, flat out. And I mean, hey, if you're a Leafs fan, Austin Matthews, if you're a fan of history, 5 goals in 5 games to hit 70 suddenly isn't that much of a stretch, considering he's got 6 in his last 5.
Not a stretch at all for a guy who scores hat tricks like Austin Matthews does. I mean, would it surprise anyone to see him get there? The answer to that is no. I think we'd all love to see that number start with a 7. I mean, just even what he's accomplished right now, for perspective, Austin Matthews is only the 13th player in NHL history to get there. There's been a few thousand players in NHL history over the course of 100 plus years to play in an NHL game, but to get to 65 goals in one season, 13. So I always love the perspective. It's an even more elite category to get to that 70 mark. And we all root for round numbers, so I'd love to see it. It kind of feels, though, now, you know, I know it's, you know, I'm watching the standings. We're all looking at the math and what this might look like. You might think the Leafs don't have a ton to play for, but the Florida Panthers are still very much in play to get to that second spot.
Yeah, and that's where I was going to go next. The Leafs are 3 points back of the Panthers with a game in hand. One thing working against Toronto, obviously, time. Florida only has 4 games left. The Leafs only have 5 games left. And the other side of it is the fact that Florida would hold the tiebreaker. So you got to actually pass them. You can't just catch them. But the Leafs finding a way to get home ice, it would be significant for that first round series. elsewhere around the NHL last night. And actually, you don't even need to say elsewhere. It was the only other game on tap was between the Vegas Golden Knights and the Vancouver Canucks. And Tomáš Hertl was taking warmups, Frank, and he made his Golden Knights debut. He scoops up an assist, plays the bulk of that game with Chandler Stephenson and Michael Amadio. He did get a quick shift with Eichel and Marchessault. He looked good, though, for a guy who hasn't played in a considerable amount of time. And I would imagine at some point, Bruce Cassidy's probably going to get the itch to play Hertl up in the lineup.
100%. First game since January 27th. And I got to tell you, I know that he's been practicing with the Golden Knights. It just looks and feels weird. We've only really known Tomáš Hertl after 712 games as a San Jose Shark in that teal and black. And so to see him in the gold and Vegas red, it certainly feels a little bit odd. But look, this guy could be such an impact player, you know, for this Vegas Golden Knights team that really has played pretty well for about 6 weeks now. It seems like they found their stride, and I think, you know, cross or check the Tomáš Hertl box off on your list for a team that's really struggled with injuries all year. The next question is, how far away is Mark Stone? I don't think anyone can properly answer that question. Probably not even doctors or Kelly McCrimmon as Vegas Golden Knights GM, but man, what a difference that would make to get their emotional leader back. Hertl is going to be a significant piece. And obviously, you know, to see that sort of come together has to be really exciting. We broke down the Vegas Golden Knights yesterday with John Goyens, who gave us a really fantastic look at their power play and how it struggled, but Hertl is a key addition. And that goes without saying. The more comfortable he gets, and not just in us viewing him, but him being in a new place with new teammates, new system, game breaker potentially for the playoffs.
Yeah, and it's also, I think, massive to get him into these final 5-6 games for the Vegas Golden Knights. I mean, we talk about trade deadline additions not having enough time to get acclimated and get comfortable. Never mind a trade deadline addition who doesn't play for the first month after he was acquired. So that's massive. On the flip side of that matchup, Vancouver Canucks pick up a massive 2 points. They were trailing in the final 10 minutes of that game. They get 2 goals in the final 7 and walk out with a crucial regulation victory over the Golden Knights that widens that gap between them and the Edmonton Oilers for the top spot in the Pacific Division. And one of the best stories in the league this year, it was Brock Besser getting his 40th of the season. What a turnaround for him and this really entire Canucks team as they inch closer to a division title.
Yeah, just kind of, I don't think it puts it quite out of reach with the Edmonton Oilers to catch them, but it certainly feels like it's, you know, just a little bit, a few fingertips further away for Edmonton. And look, Vancouver at every point, people are like, oh, they're not playing well. They haven't beat a playoff team in the last month. They've sort of hit the skids for the first time this season. They still find a way, even trailing, even against a good team that's played really well over the last 6 weeks. I think you count the Vancouver Canucks out in the playoffs at your own peril.
Yeah, and it'll be fascinating to see what kind of a matchup they get in the first round, because there is still a chance that what we saw last night was a preview of a potential first round series, because that was the game in hand Vegas had on the LA Kings. So now Vegas still sits 1 point back of LA, 2 points back of Nashville as well, and they don't hold the tiebreaker in Nashville. So if you can keep track with everything I'm quickly spitting at you, the Golden Knights now sitting in that second wild card spot out west,
and that would kind of line up the Canucks with that first wild card spot. So that's Nashville. And look, UC Saros, Roman Josi, not exactly a walk in the park, but I'd much rather that than the Vegas Golden Knights or something else in round one.
Well, and exactly, they would play Nashville if everything stays the same. Can you imagine one side of the bracket? That's Vancouver, Edmonton, LA, Nashville, and then the gauntlet of Dallas, Colorado, Winnipeg, and Vegas. I mean, listen, there's no easy outs in the playoffs. Anyone can beat anyone. But if you're Edmonton and Vancouver, you'd probably be sitting there going, we're feeling pretty good about our chances here. I think if you're the Oilers specifically and Vegas, Colorado, the two teams who've beaten you in previous years, they're on the other side of the bracket. You wouldn't have to face them until the Western Conference final. That maybe gives you a bit of a boost.
Yeah. And look, the Canucks, I think, have struggled with the Kings this year. So that's the other part of it, is just try and at least get yourself a spot where you feel like you're in good position to try and win a first round series.
Mm-hmm. Let's move along to our clinchmas segment for the day. The Tampa Bay Lightning officially punched their ticket a few days ago, but I wanted to zero in on them a little bit here now that the Bolts are officially in and a team that just really struggled to grab momentum for long stretches of the season. Well, they've done exactly that over the last couple of weeks here. And I think we kind of know what their strengths are, Frank. If Andrei Vasilevsky's on his game, he's really damn hard to beat. And if Mikhail Sergachev comes back, that blue line is probably going to be really tough to get through. I want to talk a bit about their scoring depth, though. I think it was a bit of a point of conversation at different points throughout the season. Obviously, the gap between Kucherov and second place on that team in scoring Braden Point is something that comes up a lot in the Hart Trophy debate. But I'm looking at this team. They're on the cusp of having 620 goal scorers. Anthony Duclair's fit in well. Frank, the point of what I'm doing here, I've rattled off a bunch of strengths, and I'm not sure where their weakness is as we head into the playoffs.
I think for me, watching the Tampa Bay Lightning, their weakness is on their back end. I mean, Hedman has been fantastic, and I think this is a different team without Sergachev. I'd be real curious to see how deep into the playoffs Tampa Bay would have to be in order to get him back. And that's not a knock on some of the other pieces that they have. I really think Eric Chernak is a nice, valuable top four player. But I have real concerns when you're starting to talk about, you know, Dumba and Radish and some of the others that they're relying on. That, to me, I don't know that the Tampa Bay Lightning have the makeup as currently constituted to go toe-to-toe with the top teams in the East to make it through to the other side. Now, the thing is, you mentioned one of their strengths, and Vasilevsky, 8-2-1 in his last 11 games of the 9-21. I know he let in 5 against Pitt, and that sort of stands out as the blemish in the last couple weeks. He was at 9-30 before that and 8-1-1. But man, Vasilevsky can cover a lot of that up. Can he? Does he have the capability to steal a series? 100%, absolutely. But can they go through a 4-round slog with this defense core? I have some real concerns about that. I don't know that Nikita Kucherov and the rest of the group can outrun and outscore that and then, you know, hope to be covered up by Vasilevsky.
Right now, it looks like the Bolts are going to be locked into that number one wildcard team, which means they will get whichever division winner has the least amount of points, which right now is looking like it's going to be the Boston Bruins. Bruins first round certainly has a nice ring to it, even though I just stumbled trying to get the words out of my mouth, Frank. Our post-mortem series for today. Boy, maybe you're right. Maybe I am a little tired. I'm struggling with a few of these today. It's all about the Montreal Canadiens, and it lines up perfectly today, Frank, because you had a chance to sit down with their GM, Kent Hughes, the other day on a new episode of Frankly Speaking. Before we give our takes on what the next couple months could look like in Montreal, let's get a sneak peek at your chat with Kent Hughes.
Do you think because Marty, yourself, and Jeff have been so open and transparent about what you're trying to achieve that I think to me, that's the most fascinating part of this whole thing is you're dealing with maybe the most passionate fan base in the league with 24 Stanley Cup banners hanging in your rink, that it's win, win, win. It's not, did we make the playoffs this year? It's how deep did we go? I can't tell you how many springs I started in Montreal covering your team in the playoffs, but they're on board. They're in. Like, they get what's happening here. How much do you think that transparency has helped and communicating?
I you know what? The reason I think it helps is the fan base is very educated. So they're passionate, but they're also very educated. So if you talk to them and you explain what you're trying to do, I think they're more equipped to understand what's involved and that process. It doesn't mean that they're not going to be impatient or there's a group of a subset of the fan base that expects an 18-year-old to hit the ground running and be as good as Connor McDavid was or another guy, first overall pick who did it. We get that there's the passion side of it too, the emotional side of it. But I think by and large, communicating and letting them know what you're trying to do has been important.
I'm I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Here. Frank, sitting and listening to that, it's now been 3 years without the Habs in the playoffs. Do you get the sense that that management group with Kent Hughes is going to feel a bit of pressure to get more aggressive this summer?
No, I don't. If you had told me 10 years ago that the Montreal Canadiens would miss the playoffs for three straight years and be rebuilding and they wouldn't be trying to tear down or march down Rue Stanley without pitchforks, I'd be shocked. I wouldn't believe it. And that's been, I think, a big part of why they're able to do this is that they've gotten the buy-in from their marketplace, which is huge. And because they're so educated, they understand and can see what's happening here, which is it's methodical. They have a clear plan. And when you start to see it come together, like, you don't really have to squint at this like you're looking at a solar eclipse to see what's happening. Okay, so they trade Jake Allen. Now it's Sam Montembeault and Caden Primo in net for the foreseeable future. Check off that position. Then you go to the forwards, and it looks incomplete this year because Kirby Dach played 4 periods, and Alex Newhook, who has set new career highs, has only played 48 or 49 games. Throw those two 22, 23-year-old centers in the mix, all of a sudden, it looks different. Cole Caulfield, Nick Suzuki. I think the Habs are pretty close to being a playoff-ready forward group when they have everyone going. Then you look at their defense, and right now, you look at their NHL roster and say, okay, they're a long ways off. But then you've got David Reinbacher, Logan Mailloux, Lane Hudson, as soon as the Frozen Four is over, and you add that into Gouley and the whole group that they've got, you know, currently assembled, and all of a sudden, all of the positional boxes begin to get checked off, and now it's just about time because you see Slavkovsky become what he has. And so I couldn't be more bullish on where the Montreal Canadiens are heading. And I'm not pandering here, but I urge you to listen to my conversation with him. It's 40 minutes and it's no holes barred. It's just, here are our cards on the table. Here's what we're trying to accomplish. Here's our thought process. And he actually apologized at one point and said, I apologize answering that question. I'm sure I sounded like a lawyer. And I was like, that's so refreshing to hear an NHL GM basically just tell you straight up, here's what it is. We're not trying to pull the wool over anyone's eyes. It's just that we need a little bit of time to get there. And I think you can start to see it.
Hey, just quickly on the topic of those defensemen, we threw together a little list of all the 23 and under D-men they have in their system. And I know there's varying degrees of impact here from a guy like Arber Xhekaj, who maybe projects more for just a good third pairing option, to the Reinbachers, Hudsons, Ghoulies. Jordan Harris has been playing the last couple of years. Justin Barron, the guy they got in the Arturi Lehkonen deal as well. There's also an element, Frank, as you head into this offseason. If you have this many and you believe in them all as future NHL D-men, you don't have room for all these guys, along with a couple of vets you'd probably want to keep in the mix as well. There'll come a point where they have to make some decisions, right? And maybe you do a Gauthier for Drysdale-esque deal where you say, okay, let's add a piece to our forward group and make a decision on one of these young D-men.
You don't even have Logan Mailloux on the list.
Oh,
first round pick. I'm not being critical of the graphic. What I'm saying is it further highlights your point that you are going to have decisions to make. And maybe the best part about that, if I had looked at it more closely before, I would have thrown in how many of these guys are right shot guys, because it's a great problem to have, that they're basically going to be dealing from a position of strength. Who is trending up will make the decisions at the appropriate time. And then we can trade from a position of strength. There aren't many teams that have that ability moving forward like the Canadians will, and they're going to have to address some of it as soon as this summer.
Let's get back into the playoff conversation now. Our pal Rob Rossi from The Athletic has been waiting patiently. Let's get to the All 32. The All 32 is delivered by DoorDash, 25% off, zero delivery fees. That can be yours on your first order when you download the DoorDash app, and all you need to do is enter the promo code Nation25. Senior writer with The Athletic NHL, Rob Rossi, joining us on the show. Always a pleasure to have you in, Rob. And I know you were begging for us to start with WrestleMania talk, but we got into the Penguins and that loss last night.
Kind of the same thing.
Mike Sullivan catching some heat on his decision to go with Lars Eller and Drew O'Connor in overtime over any of the big guns in Crosby and Malkin. Is he catching too much heat for that decision? And is that something the Penguins have done regularly? What goes into that?
Well, Sidney Crosby usually starts overtime for the Penguins. He had a skate issue that couldn't be resolved last night. I actually don't have any problem, even if Crosby didn't, with starting Eller. It didn't look good last night because he was on the ice for the goal against. But I believe they are outshot 12-6 in 3-on-3 when Crosby's on the ice. And they have allowed 6 goals in overtime this season when Crosby's been on the ice. They've also allowed the first goal. They've allowed the first shot to score, I believe, 8 times. The 6 is in that mix. So, I think it's very fair to criticize Mike Sullivan and the coaching staff for the fact that they are so bad in 3-on-3. But specific to last night, given the skate issue, given that we've seen when Evgeny Malkin's been out there, he's not really a productive 3-on-3 player, and him and Carlson can be pretty careless with the puck at times. Look, and that's risk reward. So I think he's taking a little too much heat for that very, zoned in specific. But to me, last night was a microcosm of the Penguins' season. They would not be in the position they're in, which is fighting for a playoff spot and basically not only having needed a lot of help, but also needing to still pretty much be flawless, at least lose in overtime. If it isn't for the fact that their power play has been abysmal and their play or their performances in overtime / shootout have been worse. If they were just bad as opposed to awful in either one, they're probably in third place pretty comfortably. So I think you blame the coaching staff for that. I think you blame management for the team they assembled. And I think that's fair.
Well, also at some point, Rob, the players themselves deserve some measure of blame, which obviously you're not immune to lobbing out if necessary. But that kind of leads me to my question, which is they have gotten help. In order to have this rise in the standings, you need to play well while everyone else around you doesn't pick up any points. So check that one off for them. But what do you think is the biggest reason why they've been able to play better? To me, maybe just to make it as simple as possible, have the Penguins just actually played like the Penguins?
Yes, but I also think that it was a deficient roster. There wasn't room. So look, to be fair to Kyle Dubas and Mike Sullivan, maybe more Mike Sullivan, this is a roster that's been reassembled and reassembled by three different managers over four off seasons. So they have been disjointed and they've looked that way. It's also an old roster that became older over the summer because Dubas really went out and tried to sort of beef up with some veterans. I thought then, as I do now, that Crosby and Malkin, specifically, and Letang, my experience with them is they actually prefer when younger guys get put with them because it sort of brings out something in them as opposed to veteran guys. I don't think it's an accident that you've seen Mike Sullivan have the option of using more younger players on his roster since the Jake Gensel trade, and that it has benefited guys like Evgeny Malkin. To some extent, I think you've seen that with P.O. Joseph, who's a defenseman that's sort of been toiling in a third pairing role, but now has been in a top pairing and has been a lot better. I think they needed some youth, and I think they needed to be willing to learn with those mistakes. Had they done that earlier in the season, and they didn't have the roster flexibility to do that, I think they'd probably be in a better spot now. But I think they've played more like the Penguins. But Frank, as you pointed out, and I think this, they have taken advantage of an opportunity that's come to them. And I give them full marks for that. And it may be enough to get them into the playoffs, but they're where they are because of the way they played in the first, 65 games of this season. I guess if you're a Penguin fan, and I cover the team, so I don't have a stake in this. I thought 3 weeks ago, as much as they could, given the contract situations, there were going to be a lot of changes, but I didn't think there were going to be any big ones. Now I think that's off the table because I think this gives them sort of the thing they were looking for to say, you know what? We were better than our record suggests. The end of the year showed it, and we'll take another run at this. And taking another run at it the way they took it going into this season, to me would be a mistake. That doesn't mean I say trade everybody, but I think they definitely have shown they need some younger legs with this group.
You kind of answered it quickly. Just is this a team that could potentially be fooled by a 10 game period of time that they just made up a lot of ground? Or do you see, like, I look at Evgeny Malkin these last number of games, say, holy, like, where was that? Is that still in there somewhere? How can they find a way to pull that out?
Yeah. I mean, I think Malkin's a great example, right? Michael Bunting's been perfect for Malkin. He's been a net front guy that takes away a lot of the physicality that Malkin's had to absorb this year. If you look at Malkin's metrics, Malkin should have more goals and points, but he's been playing with insufficient wingers until the last, month. That's what I mean. Maybe they don't need more proven players. Maybe they just need some young guys that can take some of the responsibility of the physical nature off. But I think they're going to keep this group together as much as they can and take another run at it. I think this is going to sort of affirm that decision for them, even if they don't make the playoffs by a point or two. I think they'll convince themselves of this now.
Another guy who's been massive and a part of this turnaround is between the pipes, Alex Nedeljkovic, taking over for Tristan Jarry in that starter's role. Talk about how big of an impact Ned's had on this team, because the numbers are certainly good.
Yeah, they have been. He's been fantastic. They love that he's a battler. And I don't – every time I hear a coach say that about a GM – or excuse me, about a goaltender, that he's a battler, that he doesn't give up on plays. That to me is partly credit to that goaltender. And maybe, well, are we also not getting that from the other guy?
It's like the ultimate backhanded compliment.
Yes.
Like, it's like almost like you're not technically any good, but at least you try hard.
Well, right. Now, I think that is a bit of a disservice to Nedeljkovic because, this is a guy that's a second round talent, right? And I think he is a battler, but I don't think he's a guy that's bereft of NHL talent. I think he's a guy that can wear down. I think for the Penguins, if you're looking at their goaltending situation, what last night would have been a perfect game for them to give to Tristan Jarry, right? You got 2 days between the big game against the Red Wings, getting Nedeljkovic fresh. Because you beat Tampa, you had a little bit more wiggle room, right? And they still went with him. I think that to me says a lot about where they're at with Tristan Jarry. And I don't know that they can get out from under that contract this summer, but I know it's one that they had reservations about begin with. And you know, Tristan has had difficult second halves in three of the last four seasons, and or at least stretches. And that has to be a concern for a guy you gave 5 years to just, you know, what, 10 months ago, nine months ago.
Yeah. Ned's come through for them, and they'll probably need a couple more big starts. Four more games left for the Pittsburgh Penguins in their playoff push. Rob, appreciate the time, man. Thanks for doing this.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Moving along to our daily face-off inbox question, hashtag AskDFO. It's brought to you by Douglas Mattresses. You can order today at douglas.ca/DFO, handcrafted in Canada, ensuring the highest quality materials and fastest delivery to you. And right now, every mattress order comes with a free comfort sleep bundle, two memory foam pillows with pillow protectors, one luxurious cotton sheet set, and one mattress protector, free with any mattress order at douglas.ca/DFO. Frank, I want to float you a question that Biz Nasty Paul Bissonnette floated out on Twitter yesterday. We have Austin Matthews, 5 goals in 5 games to get to 70. Connor McDavid needs one more assist to get to 100. Which one of those feats would be more impressive to you?
Why is this a question? It's 70 goals and it's not close to me. Not saying, and I know statistically which one has happened more often, but we know the hardest thing to do in this league is to score goals. It's not to collect assists. So McDavid has had a great season. This is far from his best season. He's probably going to be fourth on my heart ballot. 70 goals is a lot harder.
How many guys in the league have done 70 goals, Frank? A lot. I mean,
not a lot. He's only the 13th in history to get to 65. I know that McDavid is going to be fourth to get to 100 assists. I'm not downplaying it at all. I'm just saying, ask anyone in the game what's harder to do, score or assist.
But 100 assists, Frank.
Okay, but if he was at 85 assists or 90 assists, no one would say a word.
But if Matthews was at 58 goals, no one would be saying a word. Huh?
You're not going to sway me on that argument. Connor McDavid scored 64 goals last year.
Yeah. Fair enough. All right. Yeah. I mean, goals are the hardest thing in the sport to do. I get that. There's only one goal. There's two assists potentially on a goal. So I understand that. I just think it's something that only three, you know, Mount Rushmore level Hall of Famers have ever done. And he's going to add his name to that list. I just think 70 goals has been done, you know, like you said, by 13 different guys. So
I don't know. Austin Matthews has 51 goals in his last 55 games.
That is insane. That is a wild
thing. It's crazy what he's doing. It's only an 82 game season. To get to 70 is nuts.
Yeah.
Let me add another inbox question for you quickly. I know we're running short on time. I was just cooking up some potential playoff scenarios in terms of chaos. How about the Carolina Hurricanes going up against Jake Guentzel and the Pittsburgh Penguins? I think if they get in, they're probably pretty likely to be the third seed in the Metro.
Yeah, if they were to catch the Islanders, that's exactly what it would end up being. I mean, that would be unbelievable to have Guentzel have to go up against his former mates. And who would be starting in net for the Penguins? Alex Nedeljkovic.
I think I said that wrong, but yeah, you guys got what I was saying about
it. Yeah, I understood. It would be quite the chaos first round matchup. Quickly, let's move along to our daily bets brought to you by Betano. The game starts now at betano.ca. Shot, prop, parlay, Claude Giroux and Cam York are the two for today. Cam York has crushed this in 7 in a row, and he's had some monster shot performances in there as well. Claude Giroux, he has hit in 4 straight and 5 of his last 6, so no problem laying him into this as well. Play them together at +150. One, Frank, I also like the Tampa Bay Lightning on the puck line. Good team hosting a bad team. I know the Blue Jackets beat the Colorado Avalanche last week, all of that stuff. And still, they got their good performance out of the way is how I'll view that. Tampa 7-2-1 in their last 10, coming off a loss at home where they've been excellent. I like Tampa to cover this puck line at -139. And that brings us to garbage time, Frank. And we saw last week part one of the prank war between Brandon Duhaime and Marc-Andre Fleury. Well, you knew Flower wasn't going to sit idly back and just let that one slip. The response, let's take a watch. Frank, that is good stuff from Duhaime and Fleury.
My man Brandon Duhaime got the North Philly treatment where you go out to your car and all of a sudden it's on blocks. Like, dude, that is not right. And the craziest part is that the tires were chained together and there was a lock on it. And it said, if you would like the key to the lock, you need to send me an apology video. I mean, that is as good as it gets. Like, Marc-Andre Fleury, there will not be anyone top. Like, that's not even prank. That is just like, that's stone cold.
Yeah, they had to go to Home Depot before, get the dirt, get the flowers. Like, Marc-Andre Fleury,
cinder box, like, what? Like, the whole thing. And then to the idea, the thought process to then like chain all the tires together and lock it up.
Oh man, it's good stuff. Just don't get into a prank war with Marc-Andre Fleury, I think is the lesson to be learned here. There you go. That was Garbage Time, brought to you by Wendy's and the Daily Faceoff Survivor Pool. And that is a wrap on today's edition of the show. We'll be back tomorrow. Stephen Ellis going to be swinging by with his latest draft rankings. We'll see you on Wednesday at noon Eastern.
Thanks for tuning in to Daily Faceoff Live. Make sure you hit the subscribe button to never miss an episode.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com. Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
All right, hockey fans, listen up because we've got something special coming your way this playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and let me tell you, it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game day, you're going to be faced with four questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle. And here's a sneak peek into some of those questions we'll be firing your way. First up, you got to pick the winning team. That sounds simple, right? But there's more. You got to decide if the total amount of goals in the game will be over or under a certain amount, and that's where the real strategy starts to kick in. Next up, you're picking who's going to find the back of the net first, and you're going to want to be careful because that's one that could be cooked early on in the game. And finally, you got to predict which period is going to be the highest scoring. Will it be a barn burner in the first, a shootout in the second, or a nail biter in the third? That's up to you to decide. Now let's talk about prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? For the daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards to treat yourself to some fresh Nation gear, and you might even win a jersey from your favorite team. And for the big dogs, those who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Play now at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.